Welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday the 8th of May 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live tonight at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us the producer of Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, Communism by the Back Door, the Freemasonic victory of World War II, and the soon-to-be-released Churchill's Body Count. Dennis, good evening, sir. How are you doing?
Good evening, sir. Yeah, it's been an interesting week once more. I'm a bit shoot.
tell us more.
No, it's just this new video I brought out, which has been wildly received, shall I say. There's been no down, thumbs down on it at all. So even the usual people who attack me have not attacked it. 828 views, been up a couple of days, and 106 likes. So fair enough.
Well, what is the content in that video, Dennis, for it to appeal to everyone?
It's an idea which I've always maintained since knowing the story anyway, was that every time, it's a little bit like the American Revolution, when the Americans celebrate the Day of Independence, when really that is another illusion. Well, this is the 75th year of the illusion of victory in Europe. And just to emphasise the point of it being an illusion, I listed a number of things which are undeniable, what's happened since then, and the people who were dancing and celebrating, obviously unaware that they're actually dancing and celebrating on the children's graves, had no idea about. And I'm sure if they knew about, would have swapped sides in a blink of an eye.
Oh, undoubtedly. I think if they could see the way the country is today and realise what had happened.
Yeah,
what the results were of that war, because it can all be traced back to that. I think they would be horrified, but you can't take it away from them. You know, they did deserve to enjoy the fact that the war was over, at least.
Yeah, they didn't know there was an ignorance, weren't they? I mean, how could they know? As I say in the video, how could they have known?
Yeah, well, if you don't speak German and you just see the occasional footage of this German guy shouting, and you're told he's saying he wants to conquer the world, he's saying he wants to take over Britain and make everyone speak German, you know, you're going to fall for it, aren't you, really?
Because they're playing on the natural sentiments of what we call the white race. I mean, we don't like to see injustices. And obviously, if they can be persuaded that an injustice is going on in Europe, then they're willing to go over there and try and sort it out.
Well, they didn't sort it out, did they, really? I mean, as I say, we're still looking at the after effects of that to this day. But people at least were supportive of the video then. You didn't get lots of pagans on
there. I didn't
get
any criticism, no, to be honest, which is unusual for mine.
Well, I did the podcast we did last week. Somebody did go into the comments section, and they posted all the links to those quotes that we debunked last week. All the quotes that we pointed out. There's no mention in there of religion or the church. It's art and science. They decided to post them all in the comments section as if that was like a refutation of what we were said. When it was the evidence. It was the evidence for what we were saying.
Well, the trouble is you can't tell if it's really these paid, you know, Zionist trolls or really, you know, people who do believe this pagan stuff. It's hard to tell the difference sometimes.
They're not a very good advert for pagans, I don't think.
No.
Always let themselves down. Well, yes, today is Victory in Europe Day, and it was 75 years, and they were going to have big celebrations, but of course they can't because we're all under quarantine. So we're going to have a look at that today. We're going to have a look at what victory in Europe entailed, quite what went on, what's gone on since then. And the first thing I think we'll do to do with this is Richard Edmonds has sent out an email again, and regular listeners will know we feature his emails when he sends them out. This is a fairly short one, and it's got some interesting information about Winston Churchill in it. He says it was the criminally insane warmonger, Winston Churchill, who successfully intrigued the Second World War to be launched against Germany. At the end of the war, in the summer of 1945, Churchill then found himself facing the murderous Bolshevik communist regime of Stalin, entrenched with the massed ranks of the Red Army on the River Elbe, halfway into Germany. And now the full horror and danger were suddenly made clear to Churchill. Quote, "We have slaughtered the wrong swine," close quote, he declared to the leading American and former US ambassador to the Soviet Union, Joseph Davies. Davies reported back to US President Truman, and this is in the summer of 1945, quote, "As I listened to Churchill inveigh so violently against the threat of Soviet domination and the spread of communism in Europe, I wondered if he, Churchill, was now willing to declare to the world that he and Britain had made a mistake in not supporting Hitler, for as I understood him, he was now expressing the doctrine which Hitler and Goebbels had been proclaiming and reiterating for the last 4 years." Close quote, Joseph Davies, former US ambassador to the Soviet Union in the 1930s. And Richard closes with, "What is one to say of Churchill? Old fool, wicked, insane warmonger, gravedigger of the British Empire, destroyer of our civilization, enemy of Europe and the right race." And he finishes with, "Hateful old bastard." Yes, indeed. But how's that for a turn up for the books? Churchill realised what he'd done.
Well, I've got my own view on that. The point is that Churchill realised because Stalin turned. But if Stalin hadn't turned, then I'm not sure he would have come out with that statement. Because, as we know now, the American bankers controlled not only Roosevelt, Churchill, but Stalin as well.
Well, I mean, he's quite hard-headed, Churchill was, wasn't he? Quite very hard-headed.
Psychopathic maniac.
Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, I mean, the bankers may have pulled the wool over his eyes. He may have been blinded with his bloodlust and hatred against Hitler, and not really seen Stalin for what he was, and then saw him at this point.
I don't know because I've seen Roosevelt calling Stalin Uncle John. Roosevelt knew exactly what Stalin was. Just to get him into League of Nations. And I'm pretty sure Churchill, being a distant relative of Roosevelt as well, would have known. That's my opinion. Once I knew that the American bankers had controlled the Soviet Union from the Russian Revolution, my whole outlook on World War II completely changed from that angle.
So you think what he was doing here was really, you know, just facing up to the fact that people were now starting to say, well, hang on a minute, Stalin is the bad guy. So he's sort of trying to cover his back a little bit by saying, well, we went after the wrong swine. You think this was just him trying to cover his back?
Yeah, I do, actually. I mean, if you remember, I think it was coming in by the back door, where I found a letter saying, asking the clergy and other certain organisations in Britain to back this this fantasy lie that they're going to come up with, because they knew what the Bolsheviks were going to do in Germany before they got there, proven by what they did in Poland in 1920. So it would be so terrible that they needed something even more terrible, and that's the clergy and the BBC and a couple of other people to back up this lie. So they knew what they were. They knew exactly what they were.
Interesting you bring up the Red Army there, the Visegrad nations. That's Hungary, Poland, I think it might be Czechoslovakia or the Czech Republic. The Central European nations put out a tweet today, and it was less than complimentary about the Red Army and about their mass rape that they carried out, and alleging that it was with the leaders. The leaders knew all about it and they had encouraged it. And I was very impressed to see that was sent out by the official Twitter feed of the Visegrad countries.
I mean, if you're a normal human being, you will understand just exactly what that really was. I mean, when you're, I mean, people just think it was in Germany, but Hungary suffered As I mentioned in the greater story, that they suffered so badly that the communists in Hungary had to complain to the communists in the Soviet Union to ask them to stop it, because they were simply multi-raping 12-year-old girls.
Absolutely horrific. And we're told that these guys were the liberators today. I do wonder what the Baltic countries call this day. I mean, it's victory in Europe, in Britain. It's victory over fascism in Poland. I mean, even in Ukraine, it's called victory over fascism. But I do wonder what the Baltic countries call it.
I think that's the question there. What do the people really think, the people who know? I think, you know, all these other countries, the government is American based for the people. And they'll say, as in, I just found out today that they're wanting a day of holiday in Germany for VE Day because the Germans were so glad that they were liberated from the Nazis. I find that very hard to believe.
Yeah, that's the most bizarre bit of all of it, isn't it? Is the Germans celebrating this? Ooh, we were liberated from the Nazis. Well, hang on a minute. 99.9% of you voted for the National Socialists.
Yeah, 99.9%. We're wiped off the face of the earth after the war.
Well, this is just it, isn't it? It's the first time ever at the end of a war that a whole political system has been wiped out and no government put in place, everything. It's just the whole 50 years worth of history was wiped out, wasn't it? And they had like a year one.
And moving all the out of East Prussia, all the Germans, just kicked out onto the road, off you go, heading for a Germany which were devastated anyway. By the Allied bombing, with no chance of any food there either. So everybody starved on that road from East Prussia. You know, the estimates are well into double figures of the millions.
Well, the plan was to wipe out the Germans, wasn't it? It was to deliberately starve them and just destroy them as a nation. And then the official story is that then the Allies realised that Stalin was the real threat, and they realised that actually they needed to bulk up the German people so that they would provide a resistance against communism, and they needed them as a bulwark against communism.
Yeah, that's what saved Germany, to be honest. Yeah, I think that. I mean, at the end of the day, if Stalin had stayed friendly, then you know, Germany would have been, I think, would be in a worse position.
So, what do you think about that then? If you think that the Allies knew all along that Stalin was the bad guy, then what about this sort of change in plan there then? What do you say?
In what way? You mean
the change of plan? Because the plan was to, the plan was to starve the Germans to death, wasn't it? And then they changed.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Which they did to a large degree. Obviously, the prisoners in the camps weren't just prisoners. Anybody were picked up, and they're all enemies of the Allies, according to the Allies. They did a huge amount of starvation. But then I think once Stalin turned, for whatever reason, I've got my own reasons, obviously, he was handed by Churchill Eastern Europe, which is half of Europe, more or less. And now he's claiming that for himself, when really it should have been bankers. I mean, he wrote down Poland on a piece of paper, which is ridiculous. But when you know that bankers control both, it isn't that ridiculous. Just save some time. So if he's now holding back East Europe, that's a lot of money, which, you know, the Wall Street could be getting now through various means. And I think it was 1950 we found out that they actually bombed the Soviet bases because they were that fed up with
him. So what you're saying is because Stalin went rogue, that was the real story, because he went rogue.
I think so, yeah. And then they needed a buffer then.
Right. And the other point is, when you look at these films of what went on in V-Day and VE Day and all the celebrations, it's all white faces. A sea of white faces.
It's in London, yeah. And that was pretty striking to me because I haven't seen a London crowd completely white for a long time. So, that sounds out a mile.
Well, sure, there's no stuff in your video, but it's not just in your video. It's in all the footage of VE Day from London.
Yeah, it's just where I noticed it. Yeah. We have to doubt. Incredible, really, when you think what London is today.
Yeah, I think how quickly that has changed. And also, I mean, it means that the BBC and the rest of them that are trying to rewrite history, they're not going to be able to do it, because as much as they will try and say, oh, Britain was a nation founded by immigrants, and oh, yes, we had black communities here back in the 1800s and 1900s, there's none there.
In the VE celebrations,
there's none at all. They would have to use CGI to start shoehorning in persons of colour into the VE celebrations, wouldn't they? Well, it wouldn't surprise me if they tried doing that, but it does really highlight it. And, it's so sad. It's so sad to see that and think that they never realised how lucky they were just to have their own people there and not be divided by other races in amongst them. They never knew how lucky they were.
You were saying the video, you know, while they were dancing, they were set to organise the mass immigration into Europe and the US, because the US took up the same standing, because this all came from Krudenov Kalergi, and obviously that was the thing what was going to happen in Europe. But he gave an article in America which that idiot found for his dinner with the presidents over there. 33-degree Freemason again, who liked it and implemented the same immigration, which is the same reason why America's got the same problem as Europe has today.
Yeah, the immigration, I mean, it started 5 years after for Britain, it started 15 years after for the Germans. But, I mean, just thinking back at that actual day, that VE day, where they had that spontaneous conga dancing and they had thousands of people there. I mean, you just couldn't do that with a diverse country. I don't think you would have a spontaneous conga line forming, because half the people wouldn't know what it was that they were supposed to be doing. Half the people there would be pickpockets. They'd be drunks. There'd be trouble. I mean, you just couldn't have that. You couldn't have that with diversity, just because, you know, what one group of people would be smiling and giving off body language to say that they were being friendly, and the other group of people would interpret that body language as their enemies, because we have different cultures with different body languages. And if you can't speak somebody's language, you can only go off their body language. And we have different body languages, our different cultures do. So it's just a recipe for chaos. You mix them all in together like that.
What always strikes me is when the royal family come out with Churchill on the balcony. Now, they must have known when they looked across their white faces exactly what the intention was, because this was planned well before. So that really is telling to me that they actually knew. And Churchill would have known, because Churchill was one of the founders of the EU as well, and spoke about this, the plans of the EU. So they must have been really laughing.
I don't know, Dennis. I don't know if the monarchy would have to know about it, because you had the king there at the time, and the king died shortly afterwards, and you had Queen Elizabeth. She was just young at the time. Apparently, Queen Elizabeth and her sister were allowed out to mingle amongst the crowds. They were allowed out from the palace. I mean, you couldn't do that with diversity.
The silence since, she hasn't mentioned how London's changed once.
That's what I'm saying, is because then they did it gradually, and then they would have programmed her. They must have programmed her and fed her a load of brainwashing as she was young and got her used to it. But I don't think it's necessarily like a plan that he would have known about, the king would have known about. Because I think, you know, the people that organise this, they know about it. But what they do is they work on people like politicians and monarchs and the elites, and they gradually work on them and get butter them up. And then they introduce these policies, because most of the people I think that are involved in the multiculturalism policies, they're not doing it because, you know, they want to wipe out white people. They think they're actually doing something good. They think they're, you know, they're helping the world by bringing in refugees and bringing in non-whites, and the idea that, you know, the interbreeding between the two will destroy the ethnicities. That doesn't go into their heads. They've been programmed to think that that's hate speech. So,
fair enough. You know, I mean, that's an angle you can set. But I'm pretty sure King Edward knew what was going on.
Because we had a good king before him, didn't we? We had a king that supported Hitler and you know.
Well, yeah, I think he would know what was going on.
So his brother can't have been, you know, he can't have been too different to him.
Well, I think it was more the Queen Mother was more controlled, to be honest. I think he was a bit of a stooge. But that's, again, that's going down another road, you know.
Well, I mean, she must notice the difference because, as you say, Queen Elizabeth was around then and she would have seen that crowd of white faces. And then gradually over the last 75 years, she's watched that crowd of white faces turn to 75% dark faces.
Yeah, and she's never said anything.
And you think about how rapid the change has been in London. It's gone from zero non-whites to 60% non-whites in 75 years.
Yeah, well, I couldn't find anyone to ask directions who could speak English at one point.
Well, that really doesn't surprise me. But as I was saying, that this happened 5 years after the war. They started bringing in the immigrants from the West Indies, mm-hmm. 5 years after the war. And then in Germany, it was 15 years after the war, they started bringing in the Turks. And I was thinking, you know, it seems to me that they thought, well, Germany's crushed. We don't need to deal with Germany just yet. But one of the countries that thinks it won was Britain. So we need to deal with them first. Straight away, we need to divide them so that they're not able to form any resistance. And the
which
way to do
did.
It,
yeah, that's which, right.
And then they brought in the non-whites to divide us straight away. And because I was thinking, well, why did they wait in Germany for 15 years? And it makes sense, doesn't it? Germany's crushed. They don't need to bother so much with Germany.
Yeah, 2 World Wars, they're crushed.
And then they'll bother with the British. And then you think about the name of this, Victory in Europe. Well, Victory in Europe for who?
For whom?
I mean, if you said there was a war and there was a victory in Britain, you wouldn't think, well, that victory was for the British. It was a victory in Britain, so it's obviously not for the British. And this was victory in Europe, obviously not for the Europeans. How can the Europeans have won?
Well, yeah, well, I mentioned that at one point in the video. I also mentioned that, you know, they won't realise now that the Christian culture is going to be wiped away, because within a couple of decades now, you're going to have men marrying men.
Well, they were taught that Hitler was anti-Christian, weren't they?
Well, you know, I've been down that road a few times last week or two.
The people really did have the wool pulled over their eyes, where we just had a limited amount of media and it was all in the hands of private ownership. And the private ownership was all supportive of going to war against Hitler. I mean, this is why one of the things the National Socialists did when they took power, they said, well, we can't have foreigners owning the newspapers. The newspapers and the media has to be owned by German people, so that it's not promoting anti-German ideas. It's not promoting ideas that are going to benefit the people that own the newspapers or a foreign group. We need to be promoting ideas that benefit our own people. That's why they did that.
I mean, it's not really a silly idea, is it?
But
well,
no,
we totally get accused of racism.
It's totally logical. I mean, you can see the same problems today. It's happening today. Donald Trump calling it all fake news, and it's the same thing. Right. You've got foreign or other groups, basically, or minority groups that are vastly overrepresented in the ownership of that media, and it's in their interest to be anti the administration. So the editorial policy is being anti the administration, and we had the same here. And the interest groups that, or the best interests of the minority groups, was to promote the idea of Hitler and Germany being the absolute devil, and we should be going to war against him. And they were beating the drums for war for quite a few years up until the actual war. I mean, I think,
well, to be honest, whatever you think of Trump, whether you support him or not, you know, I think he's one of the most disrespected presidents I've ever known. Does, you know, he hasn't gets any respect from any media outlet, and you know, it's not what presidents are used to be honest.
Well, he wasn't expecting it. But I was just going to say, I think we did have the Express. The Express was quite supportive of Mosley. But after they did that supportive footage that they or exposure that they did of Mosley, then a lot of advertisers pulled out, and they were certain never to do it again.
Yeah,
and that's the way it works. That's the way it works.
Yeah, well, it does, because I can remember when the footballer called Anelka used to play for Coventry, he scored a goal, and he gave that sign, I think it's two fingers across the elbow, which is a class as an anti-Semitic sign. And Coventry, I think it was Coventry, West Bromwich Albion, sorry, and they said, we're going to stand by our footballer. But during the week, all the sponsors were pulling out, so they had to get rid of him.
Yeah, that's the Canel salute, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that was the... That was the Canel salute, and as well as this, or like after the VE Day, the Germans themselves, as you were saying, they were taught to celebrate their own destruction, basically, as if they weren't Germans.
How warped is that, though? I mean, I'm not saying the Germans being warped. I mean, to suggest they shouldn't be doing that is just warped to me. It's rubbing salt in the wound.
Well, particularly when you think of what they actually went through with all the rapes and all the deaths and the starvations, yeah. And you think they've never been able to actually grieve for what happened to their people. They're supposed to celebrate what happened to their people. They're supposed to think it was a good thing and celebrate it, and, oh, it's a victory over the evil Nazis. And it was really the rape and destruction of their grandparents in horrific ways. And to think that they're so brainwashed today that they actually celebrate that, and they say things like "Bomber Harris, do it again," "Can't bomb Dresden again."
Yeah,
it's like a Stockholm syndrome. I mean, this is what it says to me, that we didn't win the war. White people did not win this war, because everything has been set up since the war to keep us down and replace us. And get rid of our traditions and divide us. I mean, the way to control a group is, and the way to weaken a group is to divide them, which is what diversity is. It says in the New Testament, a house divided against itself will not stand. And that's what Christ says. And that's what the diversity policy is. It's dividing up all the nations so that they can't possibly get together to resist against an occupation, basically. And it's an occupation of you've got foreigners in there, but you've also got traitors in there of our own people, and you've got the secret societies, as you've shown with your exposure of masonry. We're fighting against ourselves in a lot of ways. But division is the main weapon.
Again, there's certain things that if we'd have told them at that time, look, your 10-year-old grandchild's going to be taught anal sex. Your granddaughters are going to be encouraged to be sluts. They just won't believe you. They won't believe you. They wouldn't.
Well, what they say today, they say we went to war to protect our values. It was a war to protect democracy, toleration, freedom. That wasn't what the war was about. That wasn't what the war was about. They were told that Germany wanted to invade England. And Germany had invaded Poland. Exactly. It wasn't freedom, human rights and tolerance. And the way they promote it today, they link it with the teaching of gay sex to children. That's what they link it with.
Yeah.
By saying it was human rights and our values, and our values that made us strong. It was Christian values that built Christendom.
It's Christian
law
to stop that.
Well, as you've shown, it was a Christians against atheists. That's what the battle was, really. Christians against antichrists. The antichrists were the atheists.
Friend, you could say it were Satan against Christ.
Well, you got atheists in there as well as antichrists and masons. Yeah. Jews who are very anti-Christian, but then at the same time you've got the communists that didn't believe in God at all, that were atheists. It was all the forces of evil, basically, and the totem pole or the avatar of the forces for good was Hitler, that the Christian forces coalesced around the Romanians and the Italians and the Rexists and all these various nationalist either nationalist groups or nationalist administrations coalesced around Adolf Hitler to go into the East and to try and wipe out Bolshevism. And that's what it became about.
That's exactly what it was.
And that's what's referred to in this quote that that Richard Edmonds has pulled out, saying, look, this is what Goebbels has been talking about for the last 4 years, that Churchill is now admitting was correct, that Britain should have been on the side of Germany going against the Bolsheviks. Why weren't they? I mean, you've answered it, obviously, Dennis.
It's the bankers what controlled both America and England, and the bankers what implemented communism in the Soviet Union. They're proxy country, which meant that they were always going to be together.
And we're told
unless Stalin broke away, which he did at the end.
And we're told today that we were fighting for democracy, human rights, and all that sort of thing. But they'll also try and tell us that we were fighting to save the lives of 6 million Jews. And everybody knows the 6 million number, but how many people know the number of how many Europeans were killed in that war?
Well, that was always a question. Really, nobody knew exactly how many British had been killed for sure, because it's never mentioned.
Well, I had a look today to try and find out exactly how many Europeans, and this is from Wikipedia. World War II was the deadliest military conflict in history. An estimated total of 70 to 85 million people perished.
Can you stop me there? That tells you this is not a normal war, right there and then.
Well, yeah, 70 to 85 million people, the deadliest military conflict in history. 3% of the 1940 world population was killed, 3% of the whole population. And I added it up, 30 million of that number died from non-white countries. So 40 million, at the minimum, died from white countries. So 40 million Europeans died in that war.
That's a lot. When you throw World War One as well, that's a lot of people lost.
Well, we're told that, you know, the big number we have to remember is the 6 million Jews.
Mm.
What about the 40 million white people?
Nothing ever mentioned.
Yeah, and then they'll say, well, the reason why we went to war was because the Jews were being bad treated, the minorities were being mistreated, and we had to protect these Jews. So why is it that when we have these Holocaust days, it's not a day of celebration for the Jews where they're thanking white people for going to war and losing 40 million people to help rescue these Jews? It's the opposite.
Blame us for it.
Well, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Instead of saying, hey, you guys lost 40 million and you rescued us from the camps, they say, well, we have to remember this every year because it was you guys that did this to us.
Exactly.
40 million Europeans killed.
They're clever. I'll give them that.
You would think it would be that way around, wouldn't it? You would think they would be, you know, on this day we'll remember all the Europeans that gave their lives fighting in this war so that we could be released from the camps. Because, I mean, that's the narrative that kids are taught. The war, because you can't, you know, because they'll say, well, Britain went to war against Germany. Why did it go to war against Germany? Oh, because of the mistreatment of the Jews and they rescued the Jews from the Holocaust. And that is a narrative that's out there.
Oh, yeah, that's the narrative, but what people forget is war was declared on Germany in 1933 before any Jews were being persecuted.
Yeah, and they'll try and cover it up. I mean, what it was really about was about Hitler decoupling Germany from the international banking system.
Well, look at this way, really. For a large number of years or centuries, Christianity had ruled Europe, had kept out the Muslims in wars and various other wars. And this war with Freemasonry, which was a silent war, had been going on for several centuries. And it was eventually thought by the Freemasons that they'd won that war in World War One when the Christian empires fell. And that's when Roosevelt announced the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid with the triangle. So they announced it then to the rest of the secret societies around the world that we have succeeded. So that's another reason why Patton was never allowed back into America, because he was an anti-communist. He wanted to attack the Soviets, even using SS troops. But if he'd have come back to America, he wouldn't have been that popular that they doubt whether they could stop him being president. And they were already a communist country, but only covertly.
Well, they had a lot of communists that were influencing things, didn't they? And they had investigations, mm-hmm. the McCarthy era, where they had these investigations to find out who had communist sympathies yeah. And who was influencing things. Because
just look at the president.
Yeah, well, and just look at the banks.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You had people there that were genuinely trying to do something about this problem, but I don't think they realised quite how deep it went.
How deep it was, that's the problem here, because they'd been infiltrated a while, but they actually didn't think they'd completed the job till 33.
So we had this in 1945. We had the Windrush turn up in 1948. It's only three yeah. years before they started bringing in these foreigners. And then in the space of 70 years, 60% of the white people in London have been replaced by them. 60%.
How's that for moving? Are they saying they move slowly?
It's a phenomenal speed, isn't it? And to, yeah. to think that these people that we're remembering today that laid down their lives, they laid down their lives because they were told that their country was going to be invaded and everybody would be speaking German. And yet, if you look around now, you've got people that aren't even from our own race, not Germans or Frenchmen or Italians, but you've got people from India, people from Africa, people from China,
yeah.
people from all over the world that are now in the country. And you can't say that they're not actually running the country, because look at the cabinet, look at how many foreign people we've got in the cabinet with the Conservative Party. It's the most diverse cabinet that's ever had in this country. You've got the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan from Pakistan. You've got when Sadiq Khan became mayor, you've got the people in Pakistan cheering and whooping and hollering because they've got their man in charge of London. They've taken over London, that means.
Exactly. And he can only get there if the powers that be allow it.
Well, yeah, all of this is evidence that we didn't win the war. Yeah. And how can you win a war? How can one European country one European nation win a war against another European nation? Whatever happens, the European nations are going to lose.
Yeah, without a doubt, just on the aesthetics of it, yeah.
Well, it's like two brothers, isn't it? If one brother, you know, fights to the death with another brother, the only yeah. result can be
father that loses the son, yeah.
Yeah, the family loses. As a whole, the family loses. They can't win anything from that game, basically, apart from losing.
Yeah, which is exactly what happened.
So why
don't realise that's a problem? It's so frustrating.
Well, why would one European nation go to war against another European nation? Well, I would suggest because within those nations, you've got other groups, particularly we had one particular group, and it was in their interests for us to go yeah. to war, and they were influencing it. That's not to say, you know, that they should be blamed for that, because they're only acting in their own interests. But we should yeah. be acting in our interests.
We should never side with communism, no matter what the propaganda. There should have been something there saying, whoa, he's a communist.
Well, that was influence from that same group, isn't it? Because that same group were vastly overrepresented yeah. in communism. And they wanted support for communism, and they supported communism in whatever nations that they were in. And you know, it doesn't matter what group it is. If you have different people groups together in a territory, they are going to advocate for their best interests. They're going to do what is best for them. And what's happened is we've been conned into thinking that doesn't go on, and that we should be doing what's best for everyone. Well, while everybody else does what's best for themselves.
I think it was Theodore Herzl who said, there are no Russian Jews and there are no American Jews. They're only Jews.
Well, we can go back to the Versailles Peace Conference, can't we? And as you pointed out, mm-hmm. every single one of those nations that were represented at the Versailles Conference had a Jewish advisor with them.
Yeah.
And then you got Henry Ford asking at the time, you know, just what was this Versailles Peace Conference? No, nobody came out of it happy. Not one country came out of it happy. Yeah. But one group came out of it very happy that was directing it all. And yeah. that was this same minority group that had one of their representatives by every single political leader that was at the Versailles Peace Conference. So that they were the ones that were directing it for their best interests.
Yeah, like I said before, I tend to think that they were the ones in charge, but they took along their puppet prime ministers and puppet presidents.
Well, that's the way it is. And of course, that's why they don't want you to talk about it. That's why they'll try and say, oh, it's anti-Semitism, to point out these uncomfortable facts of history. But, you know, we have to understand these things if we want to survive as a people. If we want to survive as a people, we've got to know what's going on around us, and we've got to recognise things, and we've got to find ways of putting them right, and ways to avoid things getting any worse. I mean, just avoiding things from getting any worse would be a major
achievement.
And the more people that understand what happened in history and understand history from the European viewpoint rather than from minority viewpoints, the better. You know, it's not about hate.
What worries me, though, about this victory is it wasn't just a victory of the time. The repercussions are still going on. Like, as you said, you know, there's a genocide going on as I'm talking. But there's a satanic feel to it. It's an evil empire. This wasn't your normal war, and the Germans knew it.
Well, of course, it's evil to us because it doesn't represent us, does it? What we're told today is us is tolerance and promotion of transgenderism and promotion of diversity, and that's not us. So it does appear evil to us, but I dare say the people that love all that sort of stuff, it doesn't appear evil to them. They think that they're being a light unto the world by promoting all of this stuff. It's good for them, but what's good for the goose isn't good for the gander, is it? That's an old saying. That is an old saying. You have, for the world to get along as best as it could get along, I think people have got, or nations have got to be doing what's best for their nations, not be doing what's best for other nations. Because otherwise you've just got servant nations all working for another one.
Well, the thing is, we've been attacked from a lot of different quarters as well. It isn't just the immigration, it's the feminist movement as well. And there's certain, things that have gone on which they just wouldn't believe. I mean, for instance, the fact that the feminists succeeded in getting all the way to work so they could neglect their families, they just won't believe that would be the reason. The gender fluidity laws which allow girls to go by, the day, and it's their word, not mine, it's choosing.
Well, also, women are more likely to go with their emotions, aren't they, rather than logic. So if you allow women to vote, they're more likely to vote for the one who appeals to them emotionally. So they can be manipulated like that. But instead of looking at that and thinking, well, who stands to gain from women being given the vote, and who stands to gain from feminism? We just looked at it without thinking in that. Somebody else might be promoting this because it might be to their benefit. We weren't looking at it in that way. It's like looking at the Reformation. Who stood to gain from the Reformation? Nobody was asking that at the time. Nobody was asking why it was that the Jews that were anti-Christian were paying for Bibles to be printed and funding the Protestants. Nobody was asking that at the time. And there's no history that's been done of it today, looking at the Jewish role in the Reformation. Because nobody asked that question. Nobody was thinking, well, hang on a minute. Is somebody else
agenda somewhere
encouraging this because it's to their benefit? And if it's to their benefit, then it's not going to be to our benefit, is it?
Correct.
If you've got a limited amount of resources, then somebody else is taking those resources, then you haven't got those resources. And that's basically what we've got here. We've got a finite world. We've got finite territory. And if we don't secure our territory and secure our resources, somebody else will do it. And they'll either do it by weight of numbers, or they'll do it by ingenuity, or they'll do it by craftiness, or they'll do it by usury or technology. I mean, if you look at with the British Empire, we brought technology and trade, and we were ruling a lot of these countries. So it's not like we haven't been in a similar position ourselves, but it's just that, you know, we're the ones that are losing out now and the ones that are being replaced by losing out to this other group. But different, I think, to any other time is they've managed to prevent us from being able to talk about it even. So you can't identify the problem.
Not only are they behind the curtain, as you've said, they're bringing out these laws to stop you from discussing it. And even if you do think about discussing it, you feel guilty because you're being called yourself, for better not say this, I'll be anti-Semitic. But I mean, again, if you were to say to one of these rebels who's kicking their knees up and waving their arms and victory's been won, if you were to say to them, look, you know, within a short time now, Muslims are going to be in the majority of this country. And English girls will be drugged and raped by Muslim grooming gangs for decades without any fear of arrest. They're just laughing your face.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't believe it. I tell you, if 6 months ago you were to say diversity would bring us the coronavirus, and you'd have a huge pandemic and everybody locked up in their homes, they wouldn't have believed you either.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, you never know what is around the corner, but diversity and multiculturalism has never brought us any good, anything good. All the way back to Babylon.
No, not at all.
It's
much better staying in their own country and building their own country, as Hitler said.
Well, this was the thing. Hitler was ahead of his time because he identified all of this stuff, didn't he? Identified problems with feminism, multiculturalism. Yeah. The doing away with the paternal role and the masculine side of things and the feminine side of things. He identified a lot of the things that were, wrong.
Yeah,
against abortion and promoting the natural role between the father and the mother. He identified a lot of this, and this is why he's still looked back to today as an influence, because he saw all these things and wrote them all down and identified them.
He also warned that if that war was lost, then there'd be a good chance that that lifestyle would end.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it, Dennis? You know, when you see people and they say Hitler was right, and then you get people who don't know anything about it and they think that must mean Hitler was right to gas all the Jews, which he didn't do.
Yeah.
But when people are saying that, people are saying that, they mean Hitler's prophecies were right. Everything he said would happen if he lost the war. He was right when he said that, because it has happened. You know, that's what people are referring to.
He knew that this is what they always practiced, and he knew their agenda.
He actually gave a time span, I think, didn't he? Within 100 years or something?
Yeah, whether or not he was right, I think he probably felt it would come quicker than what it did. But communism does move slowly. You know, it's a well-known thing that the slower you move, the less you notice.
And you only have to look at Goebbels' wife, Magda Goebbels, and then committing suicide with their children because they didn't want them to see the horrors of the world that they knew was coming. And then that makes you think, well, what was the world like that they were leaving behind compared to the world that we have today? And when you look at these VE pictures and you see all those white faces and you see all those happy white people that kind of are all getting on together, and you think, well, that looks wonderful, doesn't it? Well, what they had in Germany was even better than that.
Which supported that.
You know, the all the happy white faces we see in the VE day, that was nothing compared to what they had in Germany, because it was that you know, they wanted to hide their children from. They thought that wasn't good enough for them.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they never saw crowds in England go running after a car like they did in Germany after when Hitler come past. Well, that was for a reason. The crowds were moved for a reason.
Well,
they knew what he was.
They'll try and tell you today, oh, well, they were forced to do that. They were forced to do that. Yeah. It was all just a picture opportunity. It's like the same that they'll say about Bashar al-Assad when people support him. Are they forced to do that?
Mm.
And they might have been forced to do
some real footage on in the Grace Were Never Told. I found some real strange, out of the way footage of a mass crowd flocking to him going past, which I'd never seen before. And it was really, really grainy, and I cleaned it up the best I could, and it was a wonderful sight.
And you might get people forced to do that with Stalin and with the Bolshevik and with communism, but you can see the difference. Yeah, you can see the difference. You can see when you see the kids running up to Adolf Hitler. It's the same with Gaddafi. You can see the people running along behind Gaddafi's car.
Yeah.
When you get a leader that is really good to his people. And then you can compare that to Winston Churchill, who, after winning the war, was dumped. As soon as the British people got the chance to have an election, which they'd been denied for 10 years, because the first thing Churchill did when he was put in as the leader of the coalition government, because the Labour Party said, yes, we'll form a coalition, but you have to have Churchill as the leader. And as soon as he was put in as leader, he suspended all elections. So the British people couldn't have a chance to vote him out of office. And then obviously he prosecuted the war. And then at the end of the war, they had the elections again. And it had been about 10 years before the British people had had a chance to vote. And the first thing they did when they got a chance to vote was kick him out.
Yeah, well, I think the Jews won the race as well, to be honest, because he messed up with Stalin.
There was no support for war against Germany, but obviously once it had started, once the country had said, well, this is our course of action, then you have to support the country. But there was no support for another war. They just had the war to end all wars in 1918. And then you got, 20 years later, and they're wanting to go to war again? I mean, that is so suspicious. Clearly,
I don't think America has stopped having wars ever since, I think.
Yeah, well, it's like there's, whatever is the most evil amongst our own people has managed to work its way to the top of society and is now directing things. Now, I think that comes about through usury, because instead of the brightest and the best and the most gifted and the most talented rising to the top, you've got the people that are the most mean, that are the most likely to not be charitable, rising to the top.
Yeah, and plus you've got your traitors as well, who set the backhanders as well.
Yeah, we've got them, but they wouldn't have the ability to do that if we didn't have this usury system. If we didn't, people that are just making money from interest all the time, what they're doing is they're making money out of other people's misery rather than creating things.
Yeah, and they do it to us every day of our lives.
Yeah, if you didn't have that, in order to get somewhere, you would have to have created something. You would have to have designed something, built something, invested in something, shown that
something incredible to match that.
You were creative, and now the richest people are the least creative. All they've done is be very tight with money and make money from money. And this goes back. I mean, way back, I was doing some research for a series on it on Edward I, and there was a time in English history, and there was one Jew in England, and he had more money than the King of England. Just one Jew.
Yeah, I can believe that one.
I mean, how do you get to the stage where you allow one citizen to amass more money than the king of the country, the leader of the country?
I think I said a while back that the elite now, that includes the royal family, know the place now, because the Jews are married into the royal family, married into the elites. And when you see the picture of Rothschild poking Prince Charles in the chest, that kind of tells you just where the elites are these days in this country.
Well, you think about it. What does the Prime Minister get paid? I think I read somewhere he gets about 60,000 a year. I mean, that's nothing compared to the richest people in the country, is it?
Nothing at all, no. He might make a bob or two speeches after. I think Blair's made a few million, but yeah, well, I mean, 60,000 is nothing.
Yeah, we have a corrupt system now, and it wasn't so corrupt back then, but it's gone into overdrive since the end of the war.
Yeah, I thought 80s were a time where suddenly just felt everyone was trying to rip you off, everybody. Just felt to rip off Britain was a term widely used.
Well, I think credit cards must have been a big turning point when they began. Was that the 60s, something like that?
Well, they were pushing for that for a while. I don't think they got in for a while, because to be in debt in this country once, or it wasn't a nice thing to be. And so people refused the credit cards at first, but eventually they kept pushing and pushing. Another generation comes along and there you go, suddenly back in debt again. And like you said, it is usury.
Well, instant credit at your fingertips. Nobody would have wanted that for 50 years ago, 60 years ago. They wouldn't have wanted that. But the old idea was that you saved your money when you wanted something, and you saved up for it. Back then, you could buy a house for under £1,000.
Well, that's a little change around, isn't it?
Look at the inflation that's been driven by this as well. So the rich get incredibly rich, and the people lower down on the ladder, lower down in society, they've got no chance of
suffering more. I mean, in this country, to have food banks at this day and age, it is in itself revealing. You know what I mean? This is it's just scandalous.
Well, look at the word itself, food bank.
Again, yeah. That's one, yeah.
Charities, are they? Again, that's an insult. One of the things that we did have before the war, we were a nationalist country, and you know, our loyalty should have been with Germany, who was another nationalist country. But after this war, because Hitler was a nationalist, nationalism became bad, and nationalism then became the enemy. But before the war,
buzzword, isn't it?
We were nationalists, and you can see this really from some of these VE Day pictures. You know, you got bulldogs with the Union Jack on them. You got everybody dressed up in flags. You got flags everywhere. Everybody's very, very, very patriotic. And nowadays, you know, you can't even celebrate St. George's Day without getting kicked off Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, I watched Scarface, the movie, the other night, and it was coming over from Cuba it's supposed to be a refugee, but I think it was kicked out along with a lot of other criminals, but Cuba didn't want. And when they got to America, they were saying, like, you know, it's the communists, I'd kill one for free. And not realizing that we already had a corporate communist government in America at that time as well. So deceiving, and it's so hard to work out that these people on V-Day, the original V-Day, they had no chance of working there.
Well, the further it advances, the worse it gets, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, I think
it's like a mess of a mangled spider's web.
The fewer good people you get that are at the top. If you look back in the '30s and the '40s, we had Oswald Mosley, who got fairly high up, didn't he? Then you got Enoch Powell after the war. In America, you got Father Coughlin, you got General Patton, you got these various. Yep. Good people that were still there in the aristocracy, but they're getting fewer and fewer apart, and they try to identify them as quickly as possible so that they can smear them and slander them, and they can't get anywhere near any power today.
That's right. Which is probably why they brought the rule of the Freemasonry thing, like, you know, you've got to take your vows, or that's as far as you go.
What do you mean with the Freemasonry thing, Dennis?
Well, when they're saying, like, that, you know, to get to a certain high position in life, either politician or police or army, then they have to be a Freemason. And if they're not, then they're not harmed in any way. They're just left, but they don't go any further than what they already have got to.
So they try to prevent people that aren't members of the secret society getting anywhere in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so you have to become one of them, in other words.
Well, the thing is, I mean, when you look back at this time of this VE Day, how many people knew about things like that? How many people knew about secret societies, the politicians were, you know, were Freemasons, knew about the influence that the banks had on things? None of them knew this.
They had no idea. And, of course, at that time, everybody believed the government.
Yeah, well, they trusted them.
They trusted the government.
And look what happened. Look what they did to Europe.
Look at, like, John Amery, for instance, who was in the know, who was a son of a cabinet minister, and you read what he talks about, that Churchill's a traitor to Christianity, to Europe, to everything else, then you understand that, you know, there were a certain amount who knew about it, not enough.
Well, it's down to us to talk about it today and make sure that people are aware of it, that there is another side to the story, and it needs to be told. And I think the more they paint the National Socialists as just the devil incarnate, and Hitler just suddenly went mad and everybody just followed him, you know, the more they come out with these stories like that, I think the more people are likely to question it. And particularly, I think those pictures of VE Day with everybody white in those pictures, I mean, that is really going to wake a lot of people up, I think, because every picture you see now, it's filled with black and brown faces. And there's none in those VE Day pictures. And I'm sure people would be looking at that and thinking, you know, there's something about that that I really like is missing today. There's something about that that I really like that is missing today. What is it? And that's what it is. You still got racial homogeneity back then.
And it's a silent invasion.
And it's so valuable, and yet them at the time they didn't realise just what they actually had and what they were about to lose. Just 3 years later, I said, just three years later that Windrush arrived, and 15 years later, exactly the same was done to Germany. Well, we're just about reaching the end of the podcast now, Dennis. So thank you very much for coming on.
Pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Don't forget, we do require your donations to keep the website going, and we do have a Bitcoin wallet for that very purpose. We will be back next Friday with more Truth Without Radio for you, and of course, we do hope you have a great weekend ahead of you.